I'm Caroline Jones, and you're listening to the Rock Solid Podcast.
Make me a deal and make it good for me. I won't get full of myself, I can't afford to be. This is small town music, this is big town music. He's ahead of his time, you know, but he can't use it. If only he could prove it. Well, tomorrow's just a song away, a song away, a song away.
Hey everybody, welcome to Rock Solid, the comedy podcast for all things music, both new and classic. I'm Pat Francis, and joining me in the Zoom room today to promote her new album, Antipodes, please welcome Caroline Jones. Caroline, hello.
How are you? Thanks for having me.
I am good. Now, first of all, before we even start talking about music, you have had quite a week.
I have, yeah.
Because you just got married.
I did. I think today is our 1 week anniversary.
This is crazy. Like, I feel like I'm infringing on your honeymoon.
Well, you are. I'm actually on my honeymoon right now. And it is lovely. But you know, my husband's a surfer, so we don't have problems there. He's out surfing.
All right. And where are you honeymooning? Can you tell me that?
I can say that we're in Hawaii.
Nice. Nice.
Yeah. It's beautiful. I'd actually never been to Hawaii. My husband's been several times. And it's beautiful. We love to travel. And he really loves to travel. And ever since I've met him, I love to travel more. You know, I've always traveled for my job, but I never really traveled for pleasure.
Right.
Or for experience. And so that's been a beautiful development and a big part of our relationship. We love nature. Like, we both really, really reconnect in nature. So it's beautiful here.
Very cool. Now, the pictures you posted this week of your ceremony, first of all, it looked beautiful. It looked romantic, but it also looked like maybe this was an elopement. Was this planned, or did you guys just say, let's do this?
Closer to the latter than the former.
Okay.
We had what we called a wedding window.
Okay.
Where we knew that we wanted to get married this winter. Obviously I don't tour in the winter. And so we had some time, and the winter is really when we love to travel, because it's the time where the music industry really shuts down and
right.
He's not busy. And so we had a wedding window. We knew we wanted to get married sometime in the next couple of months. And we were actually already going to Hawaii. It wasn't planned as our honeymoon.
Okay.
We were just going to adventure there. So we thought we might get married in Hawaii, or we might get married in Colorado. We weren't sure. We just had a wedding window. And then when we got to Colorado, we discovered how easy it is to get married in Colorado. You don't even need an officiant. You don't need anyone. You can literally just sign a piece of paper in a courthouse and you're married. So once we discovered that, we're like, oh, we're golden. This is just too perfect. And then we had met some friends there who, one in particular who's kind of a mountain man and an adventurer, and he took us to all these cool, very isolated places and ice climbing and all kinds of cool stuff. And we found this really, really cool, beautiful, very, very remote place. And Nick, my husband, and Nate, our friend, just spent a few days building a little arch there and cutting down trees and like packing down the snow. And it was so cool. It was very handmade and very DIY and very special.
It's like they built a church right there for you guys.
Yeah. Well, that is our church. You know,
yeah.
We love nature. We love being out. That's where I feel most spiritually connected, for sure. So it was very, very meaningful.
Well, I thought it was very nice that you shared those pictures. I'm sure your fans really enjoyed seeing that. Such a personal moment. Were family members able to be there?
It was kind of just us.
Yeah.
We're going to have a separate celebration with our families, but, it was very spur of the moment, very last minute, and very, handmade DIY, very private. So we'll definitely have time to celebrate with family and friends though.
Because I know people that elope, sometimes the parents get a little mad.
Yeah. You know, we're really, really lucky. We have very, very supportive family and friends. And you know, everyone, to each his own. People forget that a marriage and a wedding is really for the people getting married. I think that's like a big, there's so much pressure in our culture on marriage, on weddings, on outdoing each other, on production. And sometimes you can lose sight of what it's really about. And for some people, they love to have big weddings, big parties. And I say hats off to them, you know, like more power to you. But this is just what we personally wanted and what felt really authentic to us.
Well, I think that's great. And I think sometimes when people have the big wedding after the fact, they think, I kind of maybe just wish we would have just done this with each other. But
some people do for sure. But like, I know my sisters both had huge weddings and it was so fun. Like everyone had the best time. I think they had the best time. So I think my only advice now that I'm married would be, I'm definitely glad I did it the way I did it. I do not like the stress of big parties and big social events, ironically, given my line of work. But I would say just do it a way that feels authentic, that you feel like you can go through with the most joy and the least stress.
Yeah.
And if and if you can have a big party like that, go for it, because everyone loves a big party.
And now that the union's done, when you do get together with family and friends to celebrate the marriage, there won't be any pressure. You'll just
you'll
be able to enjoy the day.
Yes, exactly.
All right. Speaking of enjoying the day, you're having quite a year. You just released Antipodes just a few months ago, and people are loving this album. I'm new to your career. My listeners kept telling me you have to check out Caroline Jones. She has a new album out. So I bought this thing and I loved it. And then I went and I bought the previous album and then the EP and then the Bandcamp stuff. And you are just killing it. So congratulations. Onward
and
upward.
Thank you very much. That's very cool of your listeners.
I get turned on to a lot of new artists and new stuff and old stuff by the listeners. And it's part of the thing I like about doing the show. I read a quote that Rolling Stone magazine called you one of the 10 country artists you need to know. It's kind of impressive.
It is. That's a really big honor. Rolling Stone is still one of the most premier music outlets. So that's a big deal. Yeah, very flattering.
So when you read something like that, does it give you some validation of what you've been trying to achieve since you started your musical journey?
Absolutely. I think there's a lot of validation, especially in those music trade magazines like Rolling Stone and Billboard. My single Come In just recently went top 40. It's my first official top 40 hit on country radio. So those kind of moments are very validating.
Yeah.
Especially, you know, I measure my success more by my craftsmanship and the validation of my peers more than saying numbers or sales or I think those things are sometimes, not always, but they're not directly correlated with talent or greatness. And I think that's important for aspiring musicians and professional musicians to remember. I think it's really important to keep perspective and be honest with yourself about the kind of work that you're doing and putting out and not just measure it by data and analytics and commercial success. So I've always been very wary of doing that. But when you get those markers of commercial success, it is very validating.
Sure.
And something to appreciate.
And for me, I listened to Antipodes first, and then I went back and I listened to your catalog from your first record up to Bare Feet. And I can tell you, for me, every album is better than the previous album. So that's what you want.
Thank you. That's exactly what you want. And I agree with you. So thank you very much. You know, I've been writing and producing records since I was 18. And really like self-producing sometimes in the dark when I had no idea what I was doing. I've always been very headstrong that way and wanted to learn by doing.
Yeah.
And so I love seeing the progression and I always want to be, you know, my whole life goal is to be a great musician, singer, songwriter, producer, all these crafts that are part of my artistry. And so thank you for saying that, because constantly improving and making better work than I made before is obviously the goal.
Absolutely. It is. I guess when you start out and you're kind of like your wedding ceremony, you're a DIY artist You're in control. You're in control of your image and the songs and everything. So hats off. That's a good thing.
Thank you very much.
And
yeah,
it's a good thing to know at a young age that that's what you want to do.
Yeah, it is. Thank you for saying that. I've been an independent artist, like I said, for over 10 years. And I personally wouldn't have it any other way, because you learn so much and you fall on your face, but at least you fall on your face and you're accountable to yourself.
Right. On your own terms.
And then what's really special is that you start building collaborations and a team with people who believe in you, you know, not something that they could make you into or not something that you could be, but who believe in you and what you're about and what you're trying to build. And then those collaborations and that teamwork is that much more fruitful and meaningful, because it really has a purpose and some authenticity behind it. And that's what's been really cool the last few years, is to team up with some producers like Rick and musicians and musical peers who kind of see something in you and want to help bring it to light. And I've been really, really lucky to have relationships like that the past few years.
Your two most recent albums are released through Mailboat Records. I believe that's Jimmy Buffett's label.
Yeah.
So it's not the big machine, but it still is validation that this label wants to carry your stuff. So that's cool.
Certainly. Yeah. And Jimmy is a real mentor to me. You know, he took me under his wing after Zac Brown was my first major tour. And then Jimmy was my second. And I toured with Jimmy all of 2018 and did a song with him called Gulf Coast Girl that he wrote for me with Mac McAnally. And I can't say enough good things about, you know, the reason that I have a career is Zac Brown and Jimmy Buffett. And so I feel very indebted to them and very grateful for their mentorship, for their guidance, and primarily for the opportunities that they give you, you know, because there's no handbook for learning how to be a good entertainer. You just have to do it.
Yeah.
And especially learning how to be a good entertainer in front of 20, 30,000 people every night. You can't prepare for that. You just have to learn and trial by fire. And, you know, you have to spend nights where maybe you don't capture the crowd most nights. And then over time, over days and nights and weeks of doing those shows, you learn how to do that. But if nobody gives you that chance, that stage, that 20 minutes on stage to learn how to do that, there's just no way you can do it. So I'm very, very grateful to them for those opening slots and those opportunities.
And then once you get the opportunity, though, you have to do it. It's all on you, and and you're doing it. So that's
thank you.
That must feel great. Let me talk about Antipodes. Tell me about this title, because I don't know what it means. I didn't look it up because I wanted to hear it from you.
Antipodes means the opposite end of the world. And the second definition is the exact opposite of something. So I'm primarily referring to the first definition with this title, because I made a lot of this record in New Zealand, which is literally the opposite end of the world. And so it's kind of a colloquialism for Australia, New Zealand. I'm actually half Australian. My mom is Australian. Her whole side of the family lives there. We have lots of family in Sydney. And I spent a lot of the pandemic in New Zealand inadvertently. I had met my husband, and he had to move to New Zealand soon after we met for work. And all my tours were canceled. You couldn't even leave your house in America. This was like full on height of 2020 pandemic. And I got an opportunity to go into a closed border New Zealand through their spouse and family program.
Okay.
And so I was like, peace out, America. I am going to New Zealand where there's no COVID. And it was incredible. I mean, it's the best. And I never went home. I stayed there for 7 months. And it was just the most amazing time of my life. And I ended up finishing this record there. So that's why I call it Antipodes.
Excellent. Excellent.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
All right, so released in 2021, the album hooked me from the opening track, Getting to Me.
Thank you.
You're getting to me. You're getting to me now. It's hard to believe. It's just been a week. Okay, okay, now we're getting somewhere. You're getting to me. Okay, okay, now we're getting somewhere. You're getting to me. What if you've spent your whole life getting to me? It's in the way that you move now. It shifted, darling. You're looking out for me.
Mm. We said it. Just, thank you so much.
And I mean, that's what you have to do. You have to get me immediately so that I want to keep listening. So Getting to Me is just such a fantastic track. I love it.
Thank you very much. I love the contrast in that production. I love how the verses are very sparse with that. You know, there's just like a synth pad and that main guitar riff and really cool drum sound. And then the choruses kind of explode. Lots of electric guitars and synths. And I love that song. Thank you. That was the first song I ever wrote about my husband. So it's very special to me.
So when you write a song about your husband or about mm-hmm. a boyfriend or a girlfriend,
yeah.
do you present it to him before it's recorded? Do you play it for him on acoustic guitar in some quiet moment? Or do you just surprise him with it, the finished product, when it's on the album?
I wish I could do that, but I'm terrible with that. I'm terrible at keeping secrets. Like okay. I would rather wait till it's done, but I just get too excited. It's very different now. I think in the beginning, I was very nervous to play him anything because I wanted to impress him so much. And we didn't know each other that well. So I was very, very shy in the beginning about playing him anything. Now he's always here. I don't know why. I guess that's what marriage is.
So he hears everything.
Always there. Exactly. He hears everything as I'm writing it. And actually he has really good perspective. Mm-hmm. I'm obviously biased because I love the heck out of him, but like he has great ears and great perspective and challenges me in the best way.
So if he has a critique, you'll accept it. You might not agree with it, but
if I think it's good, I'll accept it. Yeah. All if right. I disagree with it, then I'll argue my point till he agrees with me.
Good idea. Good on you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now there's a Fleetwood Mac cover on this album and, if someone said, oh, Caroline did a Fleetwood Mac cover, immediately I would think, oh, it must be a Stevie Nicks song or it must be a Christine McVie song, but it isn't. You chose Big Love, which is a Lindsey Buckingham song. So I think that's kind of thinking out of the box. I like that.
Thanks.
The night so still. Oh, I'll build you a kingdom in that house on the hill, looking out for love. Mm, big, big that you love me and that you always will.
I kind of got pushed into doing it in the best way. Like one of my close friends and incredible musician, Nir Z. He's the one who showed it to me and was like, you should learn. He almost like dared me to learn the song because it's such a hard guitar part.
Yeah.
He was like, if you learned this guitar part, it'd be really cool. Like people would freak out. So I love challenges like that. I kind of was like, oh yeah, I should learn it. And so I didn't directly pick that song. I probably would have picked Gypsy by Stevie Nicks. That's a Stevie Nicks song.
Yeah.
Because I love that song. But I'm really glad. Sometimes that's why it's great to have musician friends or a co-producer, people you're collaborating with that hear something in you that you don't hear in yourself. That's something I've learned a lot more recently. In the beginning of my career, I was just trying so hard to establish what myself was. You know, I was just trying so hard to find my authentic identity and what I gravitated towards and what my sound was. And now it's cool for people to push you and say, well, what if you did this? What if you did that? And so he introduced me to that Lindsey Buckingham live version that Lindsey does solo acoustic. That's yeah. Insane. If people haven't heard it, they should go look up that version.
Yeah. I mean, Lindsey Buckingham, of course, no slouch on guitar. So to learn any of his guitar parts must be just crazy.
It was quite a long process. I learned that over a period of months, but I think that's fun to really set a high bar for yourself with a difficult piece and really sit down and learn it inch by inch, exactly, like note for note, exactly how it's played. I've done that a few times now, and that's always really rewarding for me.
And what came first for you when you were a kid, I guess, was it singing or playing guitar, or was it just together?
Actually, writing came first for me. As soon as I learned how to read and write, I don't know how old, maybe six, I loved writing poems and stories. And I would just write stories probably until I was about nine. When I was nine, I asked my parents for singing lessons. And once I began singing and realized that I could put all of those stories and poems to song, to melody, that's when it really clicked for me. I never wanted to do anything else. And then I didn't start playing guitar till I was almost 18.
Wow.
So very late. Yeah. I've been writing for a few years and I've been writing with producers, and I had a rude awakening that I wouldn't get writing credit if I didn't also write the chords. Cause I thought if I wrote the lyrics and melody and sang a song, that it was my song, you know?
Right.
But, one experience in particular alerted me that that is not the case. And I really felt a great ownership over my songs, you know? And so I was like, dang it, I got to learn the guitar and the piano and really have ownership over these songs, the way that I hear them in my head. And the same thing happened to me with producing a few years later, when I would hear all these parts in my head, you know, guitar parts or synth parts. I looked at these musicians in Nashville, these studio musicians, and I was just so in awe of the way that they could make what was in their head come out of their hands. It's so like jealous, not only notes and chords, but like sounds and synth sounds and sonically how to tweak things so that it's a texture that you're hearing in your head. And I was fascinated by that. And that's what really prompted me to learn how to produce and take more of that craft into my own hands, which I absolutely love.
Yeah. When people are able to do that, it's almost like, I don't want to say it's a magic trick. It's almost like a miracle. It's just, I don't know how people can do that. It's just incredible. You also
especially
play
in Nashville. Yeah.
Yeah. You also play banjo.
Yeah. I play banjo. Well, that's around that time I was playing guitar, and that's when that love of production inspired me to pick up other instruments. And also the fact that at the time I was playing solo acoustic shows around high schools and colleges in New England. And I just wanted to pick up more instruments to make my show more interesting, because it was just me on stage. And so I learned some banjo and some slide guitar, which led to dobro. So I just picked up instruments over the years. I love different tunings and voicings, and I love production. I'm a real geek about all of it. So I feel like I have a lot of crafts on my plate that I'm always working on and trying to be great at.
And if I was to give you a title, would you accept singer songwriter? Is that what you would like to be known as?
I think so. I often wrestle with that a little too, because I also want to call myself a musician. like when I write my occupation, I write musician, because I guess singer can kind of be included in that, but it's all semantics to me. I just love music.
Yeah. Musician makes sense. The first single off the new album was Come In, But Don't Make Yourself Comfortable.
Come in, don't make yourself comfortable, because I don't know if I'm going to like you for long. Come in, but park your truck facing out, because I wouldn't want to be you when I want you gone. Come in, but don't make it yourself at home, because you'll just piss me off, and I'll be moving on. Come in, but park your truck facing out, because I wouldn't want to be you when I want you gone. Oh, 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 oh.
The lyric, come in, but park your truck facing out, that line to me just feels like such a cool old school country style lyric. I really, really dug that when I heard it.
Thank you. Thank you. It's a fun image. I like that image. My co-writer on that song, Jorge Stelling, who's my guitar tech, he literally just, this song started as a joke in the studio. And I said, come in, but don't make yourself comfortable. And we were just kind of literally riffing off that. I was like, dang, that should be a country song. He was like, yeah, tell the guy to park his truck facing out, so he can just drive away when you kick him out. And I thought that was such a great image. So thank you.
And the video's fun. The production value on the videos is very high. Are you working with the same team on all of these?
We are. The Come In video is slightly different. It's co-produced by Fish and Clips in New Zealand. We made that video in New Zealand.
Oh, okay.
We wanted to make it in America, but I was still living in New Zealand. We needed a video, and we knew that we wouldn't be able to make it in America safely and cost efficiently. It costs so much, and there's so many extra hoops you have to jump through to test everyone, quarantine everyone. Like, it's just a nightmare, because that video had a lot of extras, like close to 50, maybe. I don't remember the exact number, but a lot of extras in the bar, you know, and dancers and crew. And it just would have been a nightmare making that video in America last year. This was before the vaccine. And so we made it in Auckland at this country Western bar in Auckland, which is a very rare thing. There really aren't any country bars in New Zealand. So the one that there is, we filmed at, and it's a really fun video. I'm really proud of it. I think that my favorite part about the Come In music video are the dancers and the extras. I think they just have such good energy. It's one thing to kind of act out good energy in a video, and it's another thing to like really have it. And I feel like they have a lot of joy and sex appeal and carefree energy in that video.
Well, when you're dancing in a video, it just makes you feel, you know, alive.
Yeah.
Some of these videos are like mini movies. There's a little bit of acting going on in these at times. Is that something you would ever want to pursue down the line?
No, I don't know the answer to that. I feel probably not, but I definitely will never say never. I do feel like if I did act, I feel like Broadway or a Disney kind of thing. I don't know if it's because I grew up on a lot of that and grew up on a lot of show tunes and American Songbook, but I do have the kind of training and the kind of voice that would make for a really good like Broadway Disney character when I want to turn it on. So maybe that would be my entryway to acting. But I love, like, my whole goal with my artistry is like pulling the truth out of myself as opposed to another character. So I feel like it's actually a little bit of a stretch, but we'll see.
I like that when I ask you a question, you have a definitive answer. You don't hem and haw. And you're not just like, oh, I don't know, maybe. You've thought about it a little bit. You kind of know.
Yeah, well, I like these questions. I like questions that have layers to them and that are deep. It makes me think out loud. So cool. That's what I was just doing.
All right, good. I love that too.
And now a word from our sponsors.
Hey, Rock Solid listeners, it's Pat Francis, and I'm here to tell you that we are stepping up our audio game with the new Shure MV7 podcast microphone. Now, look, if you want to get the best audio out of your Zoom interviews, and I know you do, then you need to buy the MV7. It's perfect for podcasting, home recording, and gaming. It plugs right into the USB of your PC or your Mac, and it's ready to go. So take your sound to the next level with the Shure MV7 podcast microphone. You know what? I'm using it right now.
Now back to the show.
All right. Another song on the album, Don't Talk to Me Like I'm Tiffany.
Yeah.
You get a little help from a guitar player on this. Do you want to tell the listeners who's on this song?
Yes. So Joe Bonamassa, who's one of my guitar heroes, who's just an absolute beast, and I became friends last year. He's a very nice guy. And I wrote this song and this riff after having breakfast with him one day and just envisioned him on the song. I really wanted a song he could play something like really swampy and grimy on. And he came in the studio, was kind enough to come to the studio and play on the song. And of course he brought, you know, a 52 Tele and a 55 Strat and like all these insane guitars and let us play them. And he's a great guy. So I'm very grateful for his playing on this song. It's a very, very sassy, fun, tongue in cheek, kind of ragey song for me. And very swampy. I hope, actually, speaking of music videos, I hope we get to make a video for that because I already see that in my mind. I think that'd be such a fun video.
And Joe has to be in the video.
Of course. It's going to be like the Guns N' Roses video where he's like in the desert playing guitar.
When Joe Bonamassa comes in to do a solo for you, play on a song, are you able to give him notes or is he giving you exactly what you had envisioned?
That's a great question because I think it depends on the song and the collaboration. Mm-hmm. In Joe's case, I'm not sure what I was envisioning. I just wanted him to come in and put himself into it, which I knew he would and which he did. I definitely wasn't expecting him to play slide, but now when I listen to the song, I can't imagine it any other way.
Right.
And I definitely didn't give him notes. I don't know. Okay. I'm not saying I wouldn't. I'm just saying I didn't need to. He just killed it and crushed it. And definitely when an artist is kind enough to give you their time and offer up their heart in a collaboration, like mm-hmm. you wouldn't start with the notes, you know, you'd start right. with what they feel and what they think. And then if it doesn't jibe, you know, then you can have a conversation, but that was not the case with him. He was just right in it.
Cool. I love that. Yeah. He seems like a nice guy when I've seen him on interviews and stuff. He was probably asking you, is that okay? What did you think?
Yeah, and so was Matthew Ramsey, who's also on the record, which is kind of mind-blowing to me.
I left so much life for I fell in her arms. Spent years becoming the man that she needs. Funny now I feel like a boy so disarmed, cause she sings for the world, but she thinks the world of me.
I've seen so many skies, guitar in my hands, stars in my eyes. I was writing my songs, he was living them out.
you know, people forget that artists, you know, we're very sensitive, very emotional. We really want to be accepted, and especially it's very vulnerable to put yourself into someone else's song, to put yourself out there at all. And, you know, that's our job. That's what we do all day, every day. But if you take the person out of their comfort zone, which you are when they go into a foreign situation, even though I feel like they are so far above me and ahead of me, you know, then you see that, that little, I don't know, risk factor, but I think that's really healthy. I think like that's something that I want to put myself into more, is those kind of uncomfortable artistic situations. It's really good for you. And I, and some of my favorite musicians and the most like artistically courageous heroes of mine are really good at that.
Yeah, because you don't want to play it safe.
Right.
That's
you don't want to just be good in your lane. You know, you want to push yourself. You want to know your lane and not, you know, be a fool.
But you want to
push yourself and challenge yourself and get better in new situations. That's something my husband really encourages me to do, which is really cool too. I've learned that a lot since meeting him.
Yeah. You want to surprise your fan base too. You want them to say, wow, I wasn't expecting that, but that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Let's jump back to the previous album, 2018, Bare Feet. You do a cover of Van Morrison's Brown Eyed Girl, and you really made this your own. You just, it wasn't a straightforward cover. And I think that's what makes great for a great cover song, when the artist takes it and makes it their own. So really enjoyed it.
Hey, where did we go? When the rains came down to the hollow, playing a new game, laughing and running, skipping and jumping in the misty morning fog, with our hearts a thumping at you, brown-eyed girl.
Thank you very much. Yeah, people love that cover still. It wasn't supposed to be on the album. It was just something that we did for, I think, for socials or for YouTube or something. And then people ended up loving it, and we put it on the record. So thank you. It's a very beautiful, deep, sad lyric.
Yeah.
You know, and people don't know that because they know the song. It's so up tempo and they've been hearing it their whole life. Maybe they don't know all the words or the story. So that version showcases the melancholy in the lyric a little more.
It definitely does. It's definitely exactly what you said. It's more deep and more sad, your version of it.
Yeah.
But still great. Still fantastic.
Thank you.
So this album kicks off again immediately with a catch song, The Difference, and then in parentheses, Gosh Damn.
Gosh Damn.
Again, banjo on this. Very cool. But I was taken aback by the lyric. In the video, it works because it seems tongue in cheek. But when you sing it, I can't help it, you little bitch. I was kind of like, that put me on my heels a little bit. I was like, wait, is that what I just heard? And then I had to go look at the lyrics. And I mean, for me, that word is, it's not playful. It's kind of derogatory. So I wanted to get your take on the way that you wrote this and used this in the song. Oh,
Yeah, that's a great question. Well, of course, words are very objective that way. You know, people, I would say, process certain words differently, especially mm-hmm. swear words. So I think that's something you have to be aware of when you're writing. For me, this line was very playful. And also, this verse makes use of it. It's a conversation that's happening in the verse. So yeah. you're saying, he said this, she said this. So sometimes when you sing those lines, it's a little bit hard to understand where the quotation marks are.
Right.
But definitely, yeah, the male protagonist in the song, the love interest, is saying, you know, I can't help it, you little bitch. Because the whole first verse is kind of me teasing him and leading him on.
Right.
So it's meant playfully, for sure. It's not meant in an incendiary way. But right. certainly, you know, it is. And it's funny, a lot of people don't hear it, like, until they saw it in the video. They didn't hear that line. And it's kind of fun playing it live, but it's definitely supposed to be tongue in cheek. But, you know, that's the risk that you take when right. you put a swear word or a word like in Tiffany, a word that's seen as derogatory or maybe a little off limits in a song. You're kind of going for that shock factor a little bit, or that like laugh or that surprise or that tongue in cheekness. But I personally like that energy a little bit. And a lot of my songs have, I call it sass, but it's kind of that like teasing sexual energy in it, I guess.
Yeah. You don't shy away from that. And I picked up on that in a lot of songs.
Yeah.
And again, if we just look at you're the girl next door. So then when it's like a juxtaposition, when I would hear some of these, as you say, sassy lyrics. So
yeah, that's funny. I don't know. I'm pretty emotional. I have a lot of different layers to me, and I definitely have a lot of fire in me. I don't know if people necessarily see that when they watch some of my videos or see me on social media or whatever, but I definitely have quite a bit of fire in me. And you can hear that in a lot of my songs, I think. But it's playful. It's not like total rage. It's just the range of emotion, you know?
Right. And again, this lyric really works in the context of the video, because you can see that it's playful.
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay. It's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Then you make a sequel video. Chasing Me is a sequel to The Difference.
Yep.
I've never given anyone a chance in my heart. Mama always said it was a treasure to guard. And the man.
Yeah, it's a cross-country kind of love story. Mm-hmm. And at the end of Chasing Me, he gets the girl, which I love. And Cody Walker starred in those videos. If people haven't seen them, they can just pull them up on YouTube, The Difference and Chasing Me. But it is a continuous story. And Cody Walker is such a nice guy. And we filmed in some of the most beautiful locations. This was a few years ago. This was 2018. We filmed in Zion National Park in Utah. We filmed in Big Sur, and we filmed in Nashville. And gosh, it was so beautiful. It was one of the most fun adventures of my life to date then. Because these are bucket list places, you know, like Big Sur and Zion that people dream of going. So to go and then be able to make art there, like I'm in Hawaii right now and all I can think about when I see the, I just think about the videos that I want to make while I'm here. And I don't know, that's just the artist in me, but I love nature. I love putting my music against the backdrop of nature.
Let me talk about the song Tough Guys from 2016.
Yeah.
This was your first proper single, proper video, if I'm correct.
Yeah. Yes.
And explain this song to a non-tough guy. I'm still trying to figure these lyrics out a little bit. Does the woman in the song, does she like tough guys or is she over liking tough guys?
I'm selfish if I please myself. I'm good if I please you. I'm a rebel if I don't fit in the box. I'm a talent if I do. I'm ignorant to your hypocrite, naive to your experience. Well, oops, but I don't give a shh, cause I ain't waiting on you to approve. Cause I got all the love that my heart can give. Tied away that you can't hold back. Courage is all dreams need to live.
It's funny. I love these questions. Thank you so much for thinking so much about my lyrics. Tough Guys is kind of, I would say, a proclamation of self-empowerment and independence against people who really want you to be different than you are and want to make you into something more palatable for them. So ironically, you know, real tough guys, that's not really what real strength and real toughness is about.
Okay.
But it's talking more about, you know, guys who have that kind of facade of strength and toughness and tell you how it should be and what you should do and how you should live, who you should identify yourself as. And so that's really a statement of, I'm not going to do it your way. I'm going to do it my way.
Gotcha.
And if you don't like it, too freaking bad. So that song, especially at that time being my first single, that's a very playful song, but also definitely has a lot of power and statement of authenticity and integrity behind it. It's a really fun one to play live. Like people still, that's still one of our, like most responded to songs live. Yeah.
Now, the first four albums, Fallen Flower, Nice to Know You, Clean Dirt, and The Heart is Smart. These are all on Bandcamp. But as an outsider, I feel like maybe you feel like the career has really started with Bare Feet.
Correct. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, those first albums that you refer to, that's kind of me trying to figure out how to make music, you know? And I mean, not that I'm still am. It's an endless pursuit, a lifelong pursuit. But that was, you know, me at 18, 19, never having recorded.
It's like your college years, those first four albums.
Yeah. Well, literally is.
Yeah.
It literally is my college years. And I just made those very DIY. Except The Heart is Smart. The Heart is Smart has some great Nashville musicians on it. Mac McAnally really helped me out. That was like my first time meeting anyone in Nashville and recording with them. So that has some kind of more country commercial musicians on it.
Yeah.
But yeah, those albums are literally me trying to find, you know, writing my first songs, trying to find my sound and myself. And at the same time I was touring schools and playing solo acoustic shows. It was a very formative time for me.
Well, here's what I like. Those albums are still on Bandcamp. You can still purchase them and find them. Like, you haven't like disowned them. You haven't, and not that you should, because there's some great stuff in the grooves of those records too. But I can
I can
hear the progression as we get, you know, and even the album artwork on those albums, you can tell it's you trying to figure it out. Like Fallen Flower is a very, for lack of a better word, glammy, model-y shot. And then, you know, and it's just, everything's just, I enjoyed listening to those, and I enjoyed seeing the album covers and seeing the growth.
Yeah. Yeah. I had long blonde hair on one of them.
Yeah.
College years, exactly what you said.
Okay. Growing up, who are some of your personal musical influences?
I grew up listening to a lot of classic rock and R&B. Okay. That's what my dad loved. I grew up listening to a lot of the great vocalists of the 90s, Mariah, Whitney, Celine, Barbara Streisand. That's what my mom loved. And she loved some like 70s, 80s pop, like ABBA.
Okay.
She's Australian, so ABBA's huge. I love ABBA. Like, still ABBA is such an influence on what I think is good pop songwriting. And then I also grew up singing opera. So I was trained in opera and kind of jazz, American songbook. That's what I grew up singing. And then when I was 17, I went to Nashville for the first time. And I hadn't grown up listening to country music. I really wasn't familiar with country music as a genre. Like, maybe a little bit of Faith Hill and Shania was kind of the extent of what I knew of country music. And I went to a show at the Bluebird Cafe, which is a legendary singer-songwriter venue in Nashville. And just lightning bolt moment, totally changed my life. I'd never seen, I love Bob Dylan. I loved Joni Mitchell. I loved the 70s singer-songwriters, 60s singer-songwriters. But I hadn't realized there was a whole genre of music really built around the storytelling, the songwriting, the craftsmanship, like the honest, authentic storytelling. That's the best way I can put it. And I saw these songwriters at the Bluebird just capture the entire room with just their voice and just a guitar and a story. And I was just transfixed. I just fell in love with it. And I delved back into all the way to Hank Williams and the Carter family, like the founders of country music, and forward from there, and just listened to the whole genre, the whole lineage, and fell in love with Willie Nelson and Vince Gill and Patsy Cline, Emmy Lou Harris, and Dolly Parton, and just so many artists that
all
I love.
The
but that was kind of the missing. I feel like discovering country was like the missing piece of the melange of my personal artistry, and especially discovering the culture of Nashville and the values of Nashville and what's important and respected in Nashville. Like, that really became the framework for how I measured myself as an artist.
So that was like a lightning bolt moment then, being at the Blue Bird Cafe.
Absolutely.
So there's on your website, there's no current shows booked. When do you think it'll be safe in the age of COVID to get back out on the road and support this album?
Well, we actually have a lot in the works, and we have a lot that's about to be announced in the next few weeks. So I just tell people to stand by. It's going to be a very busy 2022.
Excellent.
It's just not up yet.
All right. I am located in Southern California. So I hope that you do shows out here and that we get to say hello in person.
I would love that. I can confirm that I will be in Southern California playing shows this year.
That's perfect.
So let's make it happen. Carson will make it happen when we have the show.
All right, cool.
And it's shows that you're going to want to come to too.
Excellent. I want to tell people where they can find you. Website, carolinejones.com. Twitter, @CarolineJones. Instagram, @CarolineJones. It couldn't be easier for people.
No,
couldn't be easier. Caroline, it was a pleasure to talk to you. I loved all your answers. You were a joy. And my last question for you is, every episode ends with a playout song. So you need to give me any song from your career that you would like me to use as the playout song.
Ooh. Do you want up tempo or down tempo? What are you feeling?
It's whatever you want. It's all on you.
Okay. I'm going to do, there's a song on my new record called Everyone's a Rebel Till They Fall in Love. And I feel like it encapsulates my artistry and what we've been talking about pretty well. It's a sassy song, but it also has kind of my stamp melodically, my sweeter side melodically, and production wise, it's like a little Tom Petty, which I love. So I feel like this encapsulates where I am in life right now pretty well. Plus it's like a tongue in cheek song I wrote about never wanting to get married and I'm on my honeymoon. So play it out.
All right. Thank you so much, Caroline.
Really nice to talk to you.
Nice to talk to you too. I want to thank Carson Bankhead for setting this up for us. Thank you so much, Carson. I believe we're going to have CDs to give away in conjunction with this episode. So that's going to be cool. And you can follow us at Rock Solid Show and we are at rocksolidpodcast.com. Once again, thank you, Caroline Jones. And everyone, please enjoy Everyone's a Rebel Until They Fall in Love.
Until they fall in love. Yep.
Here you go. Thank you. Thank you. Take care, Caroline.
Bye.
My friend.